Just over 15% of American adults have gotten the latest COVID booster. Demand for the vaccine has dropped sharply since it was first introduced at the height of the pandemic. That's partly because the government's response to COVID-19 has been so politically charged. Judy Woodruff spoke to public health experts about that government response. It's part of her ongoing series, America at a Crossroads.
In March of 2020, many Americans were united in their fear of the new unknown virus. As people grapple with the images of overwhelmed hospitals and death abroad and in the U.S.
Hopefully it won't be much longer.
We, the people, will not comply.
But public opinion quickly splintered as governors issued stay-at-home orders to slow the spread of the virus.
It should be a choice, not a mandate.
People took to the streets to protest the economic and social impact of business closures, school shutdowns, and mask mandates across the country.
This is a tool to keep us at home and on house arrest.
My business is being decimated as we speak.
The risk of spread in schools is low, and the harm that we are doing to our children is high.
Leaders, including then-President Trump, offered conflicting information, including recommendations on masking and other prevention methods.
The CDC is advising the use of non-medical cloth face covering as an additional voluntary public health measure. This is voluntary. I don't think I'm going to be doing it.
COVID has shaken our faith in the current medical system.
For Clara and Jay Bowes, the pandemic marked a turning point.
You know, we were in Nevada at that time. The kids are being forced to wear a mask for 8 hours a day. And I started looking at, you know, is there any science behind that?
They joined hundreds of thousands of other Americans who migrated to Florida during the pandemic, drawn by the sunny weather and the state's looser COVID restrictions. It was in sharp contrast to the pandemic tension among their extended family.
We, you know, haven't lost any relationships over it, but we've definitely had some tension.
The relationships were strong. My younger brother, for example, works for a big pharma company. Mm-hmm. He thinks I'm completely nuts, and he's my only younger brother. And we have spirited discussions one way or another, you know, but he has not changed my thinking, and I have not changed his.
It soon became difficult to separate the politics from medicine, according to Dr. Joshua Sharfstein of Johns Hopkins. He has worked with the state of Maryland on public health recommendations.
The pandemic was sort of like a match that lit that on fire, because it brought together people who didn't like masks and people who were upset about, you know, a particular action early in the pandemic.
And that had deadly consequences, according to Dr. Peter Hotez of Baylor College of Medicine. He researched the human cost of the resistance to masks and vaccines in his new book, The Deadly Rise of Anti-Science.
The big differential in deaths was very much on states where people widely accepted vaccines and states where people did not widely accept vaccines. Quince, my estimate is that 200,000 Americans needlessly perished because they refused COVID vaccines after vaccines were widely available.
A poll out this September showed 91% of Democratic voters had received at least one dose of the COVID-19 vaccine, compared with 66% of Republican voters. And Democrats were far more likely to get the latest booster. And multiple studies show more Republican strongholds that resisted public health measures and vaccinations fared worse in terms of infection and mortality rates.
Our big pharma overlords have decided that we need to get rid of these vaccines before they expire.
Why do we need an experimental, mandatory vaccine for a disease, by the way, which you have a 99.997% chance of surviving?
No forced COVID vaccines for adults or children.
Dr. Hotez points to sharpened rhetoric in the summer of 2021, shortly before the vaccines were approved for younger children, as a turning point.
If the vaccine is effective, there is no reason for people who have received the vaccine to wear masks or avoid physical contact. So maybe it doesn't work, and they're simply not telling you that.
It was an entire ecosystem of elected officials on the far right together with Fox News and other news outlets. It was a predatory, organized, and deliberate disinformation campaign that convinced Americans that the vaccines didn't work or weren't safe, and they believed it, and they paid for it with their lives.
We've had a lot of people ask questions about these new COVID mRNA.
Just 3 months ago, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis and his Surgeon General Joseph Ladapo recommended against the booster for healthy people under age 65. Their guidance directly contradicts CDC recommendations, but didn't go far enough for Vic Mellor, a former Marine, businessman, and Trump supporter who financed the We the People clinic in Sarasota County. He is against any COVID vaccination. Mellor and his staff are leading the charge in what they call the medical freedom movement, skeptical of the medical establishment and their recommendations on COVID-19 prevention and treatment methods. They also promote non-traditional health care, including IV therapy and drugs like ivermectin, which is not approved to treat COVID.
All the research that's gone into the vaccines, you still believe that it's harmful?
Absolutely harmful, yes. I don't believe their research at all.
His skepticism goes beyond COVID. In the same building that houses the clinic, he set up a political operation, what he calls a guard the vote war room. He says it will help monitor potential election fraud in 2024.
But it's going to be a training program for law enforcement and poll workers and precinct workers to identify when a law is being broken.
Down the hall, a podcast studio for Michael Flynn, who denies the results of the 2020 election. He served as President Trump's national security advisor before facing various criminal charges, which Mr. Trump then pardoned him for. Mellor told me while there were no federal mandates requiring vaccination, he felt state mandates and unofficial mandates by employers or doctors' offices threaten people's freedom to make their own medical decisions.
The nurse was so caring.
Clara and Jay Bowes, like other patients we met here, say they felt a huge sense of relief when they found the clinic and the alternative it offers to the government's messaging.
We didn't feel like they had done enough testing in order to merit our faith in it.
None of the claims that were being made, the big ones, safe, effective, doesn't let you get COVID, you don't transmit if you get the shot. Yeah, if you care about your mom. There's a lot of...
Seemed pretty manipulative.
Like, yeah.
The Boses reject public health guidance for themselves and their young children.
We did not get the COVID vaccine shots for our kids or for ourselves. Mm-hmm. And we had COVID with 2 days, 3 days of some coughing and like a flu.
Resting. And
that was it.
Their pediatrician at the We the People clinic, Dr. Renata Moon, shares their doubts about the vaccine.
I've supported traditional childhood vaccines for my whole career. But as time went on, I was crunching numbers just like everybody. And it became clear to me from the data that we had from our government, that this COVID infection really wasn't a threat to our nation's children in terms of fatalities.
Just under 1,900 children have died from COVID in the U.S. since the pandemic began. But for this mRNA vaccine, Dr. Moon says her greatest worry lies in what she called deadly side effects, including inflammation of the heart muscle, or myocarditis. The Centers for Disease Control maintains it is a very rare occurrence, that in fact, cases occurring after vaccination have generally been less severe than myocarditis caused by a viral COVID infection. The CDC adds that it and the Food and Drug Administration will continue to monitor for and evaluate reports of myocarditis. But Dr. Moon says when she raised these concerns, she was fired from her job in Washington State, where she previously practiced.
The medical school that terminated my employment sent the message that if you dare question anything related to COVID, if you dare color outside the lines of what is allowed, what the main narrative is, then you will be punished, right? And this is a dangerous place for us to be right now in America, with this idea that we can't question anything and that our own physicians can't question what they're seeing right in front of their eyes.
Or are there things that the government, that public health officials could have done differently that would have changed the outcome here?
One of the key things that can help people come together is transparency. Transparency about what's being considered and an open discussion of the pros and cons. And oftentimes I think public health officials, and not just public health officials, but also elected officials, just announce things like, today, here's what we're gonna do. You know, if instead you say, here's what we're thinking, we could do this or we could do that, then people respond to that by appreciating the bind that government is in. You know, there's often no perfect answer. Personally, I think one misstep was not doing more proposing and listening before acting.
Dr. Joshua Sharfstein said that this initial lack of transparency and conflicting advice may have contributed to the skepticism of the vaccines. In a recent move toward greater transparency, an open difference of views has arisen among scientists over at what age otherwise healthy individuals need the latest COVID vaccine shot, with the CDC recommending it for everyone 6 months of age and up, while several European countries, the World Health Organization, and a prominent U.S. pediatrician say it's not necessary for young people. For his part, Dr. Peter Hotez worries that our experience with the COVID-19 pandemic and the ongoing questioning and even threatening of scientists and public health officials will thwart the U.S. response to the next health emergency.
I don't see things getting better anytime soon. And the evidence for that is if you look at the percentage of Americans who took the bivalent booster last September in 2022 and was made available, only about 20% of eligible Americans took it. And in terms of this new annual immunization, I took it and about six other people. But so I'm really concerned we're going to start the next pandemic with two strikes. So I think it's going to be much tougher now to convince Americans to take vaccines because of the damage done from this predatory anti-vaccine campaign.
One more potential divide in an already divided nation. For the PBS NewsHour, I'm Judy Woodruff in Baltimore, Maryland, and Sarasota County, Florida.